Greetings, my friends, and welcome to this, the new iteration of Vivificat's Lectio Divina podcast. This is your friend and brother in Christ, Teófilo de Jesús. And tonight's podcast, Lectio Divina, will be about Pentecost. It's going to be taken from the readings from Pentecost, particularly the second reading, the first reading, I say, of Pentecost Sunday. We then start by finding and arranging a place so that it is restful, warm, and non-distracting. If you are driving, keep your eyes on the road and pray with your heart. If you are in your favorite prayer place, this may involve the lighting of candles, the burning of incense, the shutting of doors and drawing of curtains, whatever makes you feel calm and at peace. Assume a bodily posture that is conducive to prayer and reading. Breathe slowly, focusing on the holy name of Jesus and nothing else, until you are relaxed and able to focus your attention solely on Scripture. If your minds wander, gently bring it back to the holy name of our Lord, breathing in and out rhythmically. Note that, unlike in Eastern prayer, where one seeks to empty oneself to be open to some great nothing, this exercise is meant to make you ever mindful of the one almighty, triune, and transcendent God. You are trying to calm yourself so that He might reveal to you through His Word whatever is that He has planned for you, whatever is His will for you. We pray then to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Ghost, fill the hearts and minds of the faithful servants, and inflame them with the fire of Thy divine love. Let us pray. O God, who by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost didst instruct the hearts of Thy faithful servants, grant us in the same Spirit to discern what is right, and enjoy His comfort forever, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth one God, with Thee and the same Spirit, world without end. Amen. We now, that we are relaxed in a contemplative mode, we trace the sign of the cross on the book of Scripture, kiss the cross we traced, and then open it to read. A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. When Pentecost day came round, they had all met in one room, when suddenly they heard what sounded like a powerful wind from heaven, the noise of which filled the entire house in which they were sitting. And something appeared to them that seemed like tongues of fire. These separated and came to rest on the head of each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak foreign languages as the Spirit gave them the gift of speech. Now there were devout men living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And at this sound they all assembled, each one bewildered to hear these men speaking his own language. They were amazed and astonished. Surely, they said, all these men speaking are Galileans. How does it happen that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, as well as visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes alike, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them preaching in our own language about the marvels of God. We now enter in prayer for silence to meditate and reflect on this reading for 1 minute. Now we meditate again on what we have read by reading it again, visualizing it, and listening for the aspect of it that reveals the divine mysteries. We want the deeper spiritual meanings of the words now, and we read it for its anagogical or scatological sense and its typical or allegorical sense, considering the types and antitypes, shadows and symbolisms, in order to understand the deeper reality the Holy Ghost intends to convey by arranging nature and history as he did, thereby inspiring the writer of the text to write as he did. We read again. A first reading from tomorrow's Mass, from the Mass of Sunday of Pentecost, from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. When Pentecost day came round, they had all met in one room, when suddenly they heard what sounded like a powerful wind from heaven, the noise of which filled the entire house in which they were sitting, and something appeared to them that seemed like tongues of fire. These separated and came to rest on the head of each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak foreign languages as the Spirit gave them the gift of speech. Now they were devout men living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, and at this sound they all assembled, each one bewildered to hear these men speaking his own language. They were amazed and astonished. Surely, they said, all these men speaking are Galileans. How does it happen that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, as well as visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes alike, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them preaching in our own language about the marvels of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now reflect on Scripture again for 1 minute. As a brief reflection on this passage of Scripture, I want to share with you a few paragraphs of a book that was written in the late 1960s, in 1969 to be precise, by Kevin and Dorothy Ranigan. And the title of the book is Catholic Pentecostals. And the book was one of the very first attempts to explain to the general public what the Catholic Charismatic Renewal was all about. This is a very good book, deeply theological and psychological, and I want to share with you a relevant part that I think will guide our meditation today. Amateur psychologizers among us one day were trying to find the psychological mechanism behind tongues. It is easy to conclude that glossolalia, that is, speaking in tongues, is nothing but the releasing of an unconscious or preconscious world of meanings in repetitive tones different in each person, since each personality represents a different constellation of meaning. This could be an explanation of the phenomenon. It sounds good to us. There could be any number of explanations for the phenomenon. But does the availability of natural causation deny divine initiative? Our position on this is best stated by the nun whom we have referred to as our unbelieving believer. Of course, a death psychologist may have terms to explain the whole thing on a purely natural level. This kindly, peaceful, stimulating experience of being loved in community calls on the natural healing powers of the psyche to become activated. But then the spirit does not reject the instrumentation of natural powers, nor does the church's sacramental system. The same God is the author of all. Since the incarnation of Christ, there is no radical dichotomy possible between the supposedly natural and the supposedly supernatural. The Christian perspective sees all things transformed in Christ. Without the acceptance of God in Christ, analysis of religious experience can lead one to say it is nothing but this or that. Carl Stern, in his book dealing with psychiatry and religion, The Third Revolution, shows the pitfall in this line of reasoning most clearly. If there were nothing beyond the psychological, all the saints from Simeon Stylites to the Poverello, who was Saint Francis of Assisi, to Benedict Joseph Labor, to Thérèse of Lisieux, will indeed make up a fool's parade. Yet there is no area in which the nothing but the reductive principle is more absurd than the life of the spirit. Under that aspect, the spirit evaporates and life itself becomes reduced to a desiccated specimen. We have to admit one thing. Psychological plane and the spiritual plane are not independent of each other. On the contrary, they are most intimately connected. Of all these paragraphs, all these lines, I think that the most important line is this one. Since the incarnation of Christ, there is no radical dichotomy possible between the supposedly natural and the supposedly supernatural. How could it be any other way? We are natural beings. We are composed of a natural, actually of a physical, spiritual, and psychological nature that makes us one being. How cannot they be intermeshed? We cannot exist without the other. So the Holy Spirit touches every single dimension of our beings. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? So when they ask you, hey, how do you know the Holy Spirit is working in you? Aren't you deceiving yourself, believing, you know, your psychological makeup or your imagining things makes you think that the Holy Spirit is working in you? And you answer them, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit was granted to me by baptism and confirmation, and they have touched my nature and my mind and my emotions and my psychological life, and they all interact in one harmonious whole in which the Spirit takes initiative, and I, with the best of my ability, guided by the Spirit, follow the will of God. And that's what we celebrate in this feast today. The empowerment of the church, the empowerment of all of us to serve the Lord, to do His will, to build the church, to bring Him to those who do not know Him. Let us finish with a prayer. The prayer of the sequence of Pentecost, attributed to Romanus Maurus. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, vouchsafe within our souls to rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid, and fill the souls which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, to thee the gift of God Most High, the font of life and fire of love, and sweet anointing from above. The sevenfold gifts of grace are thine, O finger of the hand divine, true promise of the Father, thou, who dost the tongue with speech endow, thy light to every thought impart, and shed thy love in every heart. The weakness of our mortal state with deathless might invigorate. Drive far away our wily foe, and thy abiding peace bestow. If thou be our protecting guide, no evil can our steps betide. Through thee may we the Father learn, and know the Son, and thee discern, who art of both, and thus adore in perfect faith forevermore. Praise we the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, three in one, and may the Son on us bestow the gifts that from the Spirit flow.